Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 11. Hear the words here of Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived. He said, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill. But time and chance happeneth to them all. Time and chance happeneth to them all. Today I preach to you on this thought, in the right place at the right time. In the right place at the right time. How many of you, you'll just believe and claim that with me, that we're in the right place today, that it's the right time, and that God's going to do a miracle. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Come on, I believe we're in the right place, the right time for God to make a way, for God to provide, for God to bring an answer that you've been needing for a long time. I believe today we could be in a lot of other places, but we've come to the right place today. Amen. Would you pray and ask God, just thank God for bringing us here together. Lord, we pray that your will be done in this hour. We pray that your touch go forth in this house. We pray, God, that you will let there be a moving of your presence and a moving of your spirit. Lord, that would change every one of us, that would move in this house, God, that would transform us. I pray that you will let faith rise. I pray, Lord, against every spirit of doubt, every spirit of unbelief, we rebuke it in Jesus' name. But Lord, let there be faith today, and we give you praise and glory and honor for everything that you're going to do in Jesus' name. Come on, give the Lord a great hand clap of praise right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Life is full of examples of people being in the right place at just the right time. In 2012, pilot David Zintner and his wife were flying in their Cessna 172, happened to be passing over their home when they noticed a stranger making off with the trailer they owned. They followed the thief's truck for several miles and called the police from the air. Talk about being at the right place at the right time. The thief was caught and they recovered their trailer. In 2003, Dorothy Fletcher was on a flight to Orlando when she suffered a heart attack. When a flight attendant asked if there was any doctors on board, 15 cardiologists stood up. Needless to say, she survived. Corporal Barton W. Mitchell of the Union Army happened to find an envelope containing three cigars along with a paper from General Robert E. Lee detailing the Confederate Army's next moves. With this knowledge, the Union Army was able to stop General Lee's coming invasion at what became known as the Battle of Antietam. Corporal Barton Mitchell was simply in the right place at the right time to forever change history. Of course, there's many biblical examples. Think with me today of Ruth in the Old Testament. Ruth is not an Israelite. She is from Moab. Ruth had married the son of Naomi, whose family had moved to Moab in order to escape a famine. And now Ruth's husband, along with his father and brother, had all died, leaving Ruth a widow, along with Naomi and her sister-in-law, Orpah. Naomi urges them to go back to their own families, which Orpah chose to do. But Ruth stays with Naomi. And they go to Bethlehem, and they arrive just as the barley harvest is getting underway. And Naomi goes out to glean barley behind the harvesters. This is how the poor people would survive. And it just so happened that this field was owned by Boaz, a relative of Ruth's. Boaz notices Ruth, and he tells his harvesters to leave a little more behind than normal, so that she would have plenty to take home. And Ruth was in the right place at the right time. Of course, the story goes on, and Boaz becomes the kinsman redeemer and marries Ruth. And they build a life together, and they had a son named Obed. Obed, of course, he became the father of Jesse, the father of David. And David was the ancestor to another child born in Bethlehem whose name was Jesus. In the right place at the right time. It would have never happened if Ruth chose to stay in Moab. It would have never happened if she had chosen another field to glean in. It would have never come to pass if Boaz hadn't noticed her. But God had a plan. God had a plan, and Ruth was in the right place at the right time for a miraculous connection with God's will. What about Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus was chief among the publicans. The Bible says that he was rich, but there was something lacking in his life. And in Luke 19, chapter 19, verse 3, it tells us, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press because he was of little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And Zacchaeus was saved, and he turned his life around. He gave back anything that he had stolen and cheated, all because he was in the right place at the right time. Philip, the evangelist. Philip was in a red-hot revival in Samaria. But the angel of the Lord told him to go south into the desert. What? Leave a revival and go out into the middle of the desert. But Philip obeyed the Lord, and he ends up running into the Ethiopian eunuch, a man of great authority under the queen. And he was riding his chariot and reading the scriptures, and the Holy Ghost directed Philip to go join him. And reading in Acts 8:35, then Philip opened his mouth and began the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Talk about being at the right place at the right time. Now, if God would do it for these, if God would work a miracle for these, he can do it for you. He can do it for me. He can do it for our church. He can do it for our city. He can orchestrate things so perfectly for us, much better than if we were trying to open the doors on our own. Maybe you're here today and you're thinking, well, I really don't have the gift of being in the right place at the right time. Maybe some of us think, well, I've got a special knack for being in the wrong place at the wrong time. Or rather, the right place at the wrong time, or the wrong place at the right time. And maybe our timing is just a little off, and so we miss opportunities, and it seems like our life is negatively affected, and we just can't seem to catch a break. We're always just missing out. I've come to preach to somebody here today that there is a sweet spot. There is a sweet spot where our steps are ordered of the Lord. Hey, no more missing our moment of opportunity. No more being in the wrong place at the wrong time. No more missing out on our destiny. But David wrote in Psalm 37:23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. I don't know about you today, but that's the kind of life I want to live, with the favor and the direction of the Lord. Amen. How many of you want God's favor in your life? You want God to order your steps. You want God to put the plan together. You want to follow the leading of the Spirit. Hallelujah. There's no coincidences with God. There's no coincidences with God. But when our steps are ordered of the Lord, we find ourselves in the right place at the right time. Amen. For miracles to take place, for divine connections to happen, for revival to break out, for the favor of God to shine upon us. When our steps are ordered of the Lord, He helps us be in perfect sync with His plan and His will for our lives, so we can accomplish His purpose. We read in our text today, the race is not to the swift, the battle is not to the strong, neither is bread to the wise or riches to those with most understanding, nor favor to skillful people, but time and chance happen to them all. Being faster or stronger or wiser doesn't automatically make you a winner. But time and chance happens to everyone. I want to tell you, God, who holds time and chance in His hands, can put us in the right place at the right time to receive our miracle. Time and chance happen. The Hebrew translation of happen is encounter. Each of us have in our own lives a chance to be right where God wants us to be. We're talking about divine encounters, God-inspired moments and points in our life when we are right in the middle of God's will. You might look around and it seems like you're out there in the middle of a desert. You might look around and it seems like you can't see because you're so short, you can't see around everybody, and so you crawl up into a tree. You might seem like you're just a widow from Moab in the middle of Bethlehem, and you don't know how you're going to make it, but sometimes it's a God encounter. Sometimes it's a God-ordained point, and He's saying, you're right in the middle of my will, and I'm going to work a miracle. You just stay tuned to me. You keep being faithful. You keep listening to my word, and I'm about to do something. I believe today, if you've come needing a miracle, that you are in the right place. This is a place of miracles. This is a place of signs and wonders. This is a place where there's a genuine moving of God's Spirit. There's something here that we can feel. We know that His presence is in this house. You've come to the right place for a miracle today. Come on, if you have a family that's broken and you need help, you're in the right place. If you need deliverance, if you need healing, you're in the right place. Come on, you're in the right church today. Hallelujah. We're not here by accident today, but God has ordered our steps. We're here at the right place at the right time. Hallelujah. Let's look today at a man in the Word of God who had the ability to be at the right place at the right time. Elijah told King Ahab in 1 Kings 17:1, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. That's pretty bold. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence and turn eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook. And I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. Isn't that something? All of Israel's in a famine. There's no rain. There's no crops. There's nothing but desolation. There's nothing but depression. But here's Elijah camping out by the brook Cherith. Every morning he gets up and he stretches himself awake, and breakfast is served. And every evening when the sun starts going down, his stomach rumbles a little bit, and here's ravens with bread and meat. He's got all the water he wants to drink from the brook. He's sheltered from the famine. He's got it pretty good. Now, you know how human nature goes. I kind of wonder if Elijah got to thinking, well, I've really got this thing figured out. There's famine in the land. There's depression all around me, but here I am just kicking back and relaxing. And hey, this is really how to live in the middle of a famine. I've really got it comfortable. But then we read in 1 Kings 17:7, and it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up. Uh-oh. Because there had been no rain in the land. You see, everything had all been great, but what happens when the brook dries up? Come on, somebody. What happens when we get laid off? What happens when we lose that job? What do we do when we lose that connection that we were depending on to get us through? What do we do when things dry up? We have to go to our source. We have to go to our source. Who is our source today? I want to tell you, the God in heaven. God in heaven is our source. God in heaven is our provider. God in heaven is the one that looks after us. Don't get to thinking that your job is your source. Come on, don't get to thinking, who was it that gave you that job? Who orchestrated that job? Who opened that door? Who provides the work that brings you money to pay your salary? I tell you, God is our source. So what do we do when everything dries up? We've got to go to the source of all things. People are not our source. The stock market is not our source. Our bank account is not our source. But when we're connected to God, we're connected to the source of all things. We're connected to the source of all sources, and he's going to make a way. Where did Elijah go from there? 1 Kings 17:8. And the word of the Lord came to him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. And he goes to Zarephath, and when he gets to the gate of the city, there's a woman gathering sticks. And he asks her for a little water and a little bread to eat. And we read in 1 Kings 17:12, and she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first. God's looking for faith first. God's looking for faith first. And bring it to me, and after make me, or make for thee and thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. Here was a man of God. He was led by God to a divine connection. And think about this woman. What was it that prompted her to go gather sticks at the exact moment that the prophet was coming to town? She was in the right place at the right time. And God blesses her, and God blesses her house, and God provided in the midst of the famine. But wait, there's a little more. It came to pass that her son got sick and he died. 1 Kings 17:19 reads, and he said unto her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived.
And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, "See, thy son liveth." And the woman said to Elijah, "Now by this I know that thou art a man of God and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth." I just feel like somebody here today, God is about to do some great things. Hey, you've been faithful to God, and because you're at the right place at the right time, God is about to speak a word of life into your situation, and what should have been dead, and what should have been destroyed, and what should have passed away is going to be saved, and God's going to bring a miracle to pass. Come on, who is our source? Who is the source of our strength? Who is our provider? Who is the one that makes a way? It's Jesus Christ. It's our Lord. It's our Savior. He's going to make a way. Jesus said, "I'm the vine, and ye are the branches." Doesn't matter what the economy does. God is our source. God supplies all our needs. It doesn't matter who tries to destroy you. God is in control. It doesn't matter what life has done to you. God is able to make a way. Don't you know that one moment with God, just one idea from God, just one answer of prayer can change our life. God is our source. If we need a miracle, God can give us a plan to connect us with the supernatural. Come on, how many of you here today, you need a miracle? Come on, you need a miracle in your family. You need a miracle in your finances. Come on, you need a job. You need God to open a door. You need a connection with somebody that you just don't get connections with easily. That's the kind of God we serve. Come on, if you need healing in your body, if you need divine healing straight from heaven, God can do it. One moment with God can change our world. One idea from God can open an impossible door. One word from God can alter the direction of our life forever, because God is our source and God can make a way. When everything else dries up, don't get your eyes off the Lord. When everything seems to be falling apart, keep faithful to God. When everyone seems to have forsaken you, God will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Keep walking by faith. Keep trusting in His word, because just one moment of time and chance, and God can forever transform you and your family. One God-inspired point on the timeline of our life can be able to shift our destiny and give us an opportunity we've only dreamed about. I believe it's time for revival. I believe it's time for revival. Come on, I believe God's wanting to do miracles. I believe God's wanting to open doors. I believe somebody today, God wants you to leave this place full of the Holy Ghost. He wants somebody to receive healing. He wants somebody to receive your miracle. You come to the right place at the right time. Praise the Lord. And so 3 years go by with no rain. And Elijah has a showdown with the prophets of Baal. God answers his prayer with fire from heaven. And then God sends the rain. And after Elijah hides from Jezebel in a cave, God speaks to him and directs him to go anoint Elisha to succeed him as prophet. And we read in 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 19, "So he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, 'Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee.' And he said unto him, 'Go back again, for what have I done to thee?' You see, Elijah or Elisha was working. Some people get the mindset that, well, I'm just going to sit around until God opens a door for me to be used. I'm just going to sit around and relax, and I'm just going to wait for God to open the door. And then when the right time comes, then I'll start to pray, and I'll start to be faithful to church, and I'll start to show up at outreach. And once God opens the door, then I'll step up. But Elisha was already working. He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. Now, you can only plow with one yoke of oxen. But he must have had 11 others that were working with him. And so while he's there working, Elijah just kind of passes by and lets his mantle brush by Elisha. But Elisha feels something. It wasn't just an ordinary touch. But it was a God-inspired moment. It was a divine occurrence. There was something different about that mantle. There was something different about what he felt. It was a divine encounter. I can't help but just feel in my spirit, there's a divine encounter for somebody here today. And if you'd open your spirit and if you'd open your heart, God wants to speak some things to your life. And God wants to minister to your heart today. Come on, would you just lift your hands to the Lord and say, God, whatever you want to do. God, whatever you want to do, however you want to move, I pray that you would have your way in me. Shut up. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God, you're able. God, you're able. I pray, Lord, that you'd have your way. I pray, God, that you would move. I pray, Lord, that you would do a work today. Amen, amen. What was Elisha's response? 1 Kings 19:21, and he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. As a result of that divine connection, that intersection of time and place, Elisha turns his back on his family business. Elisha burns his bridges and he follows after Elijah. Amen. And it's as if God was saying, I know this has been your family's survival for generations. That was your form of security. That was how you met the bills. That's how you survived. But now I'm calling you to something new. And there's going to be a change today, Elisha. And things are now going to be different. And now I'm going to be your provider. And now I'm going to put you in the right place and the right time to see miracles. Don't you worry about your past. You leave that behind, Elisha, because we're going forward. Come on, is anybody ready to go forward? God is calling us onward, and God is our source. He is our provider. Somebody needs to burn some bridges with your past today. I tell you, your past does not control your destiny. Your mistakes of yesterday don't define what God can do with your future. God is moving forward. God is out to, he's going to bring you out of failure. He's going to bring you out of mistakes. He's going to bring you out of sin. He's going to bring you out of shame. And he's going to do a new thing in your life. Come on, you need to burn some bridges with your past. And you're in the right place and the right time to do that today. In 2 Kings 2:1, and it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Now these are places of importance that they went. What does Gilgal represent? It was at Gilgal where all of those of Israel who had been born during the Exodus were circumcised. Let me tell somebody here today, the place of blessing is often a place of pain. The place of blessing often includes hurt. How many of you know what it's like to be hurt? You know what it's like to have your feelings hurt. You know what it's like for your mind to hurt, for your heart to be broken. How many of you know what it's like to want to give up? But instead, you get a hold of yourself and you determine that I'm not giving up. I'm not quitting. I'm not going to get out of God's will for my life. And you just keep marching on because there's a promised land ahead. Amen, amen. Hear this pastor today. Don't forget the words that God has promised to this church. Don't you forget the prophecies from the Lord about this church. That has not changed. Just because there's some pain, it doesn't mean that the promised land isn't ahead. The strategy of the enemy is to get us caught up in the place of pain where we just stay right there and we quit and we give up. And since it's a struggle, we start thinking there's not a promise. And because there's some pain, we think I've got to be out of the will of God. I can't be right because I'm going through struggle and I'm going through pain. When in fact, the will of God is exactly what the struggle points to. Somebody said, no pain, no gain. If you're at Gilgal, you're at the place of pain today. But it could just mean that there's a promise ahead. There's a promise from God. Just because you're going through hurt, it doesn't mean you're out of place. It doesn't mean that God's timing isn't right. It could just mean that you're going through Gilgal on the way to something better. Don't stay there. Don't quit now. Don't turn around now. But keep walking by faith. Keep trusting God and keep moving forward. Second Kings chapter 2, verse 2. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yeah, I know it. Hold ye your peace. Bethel, it means the house of God. The house of God. Remember Jacob running from his life, from Saul, from Esau. He fell asleep on a stone and he dreams of a ladder stretching between heaven and earth with angels ascending and descending. And he woke up and said, surely the Lord is in this place and I knew it not. Bethel represents the house of God. It represents the church. Harvest, I want to tell you today, the church is the gate of heaven for your life. The house of God is the gate of heaven for you and for your family. Don't you know that when we come to this place, God meets us here? Come on, this is the gateway to heaven. I believe that in our services, there are angels that are moving. There are angels ministering. There are angels carrying out the work of God, ministering to the needs of the saints, fighting in the spiritual dimension. You can never go wrong by being faithful to the house of God. Don't let anybody tear you away from the house of the Lord. Don't let anybody tear you away from the gateway to heaven, but build your family around the house of the Lord. Build this into your life. Make church attendance a priority. Don't miss out on this place that's a gateway to heaven. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 4. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho, and the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. Jericho was the first city that the Israelites had to conquer in order to make progress into the promised land. With its mighty walls It represented a huge obstacle for the children of Israel. It stood in the way of their God-given destiny. But God came through and the walls came tumbling down. Obstacles don't mean that we're out of the will of God. Obstacles don't mean that we're out of God's will for our lives. It could just mean that we're blessed to go through some things that God is going to make a way through. And so if God has directed us, then we better hang on. We better not give up. We better not quit now, but let God take you through the obstacles. Come on, let God cause some walls to come tumbling down. Let God show his power to make a way for you. Elisha wouldn't leave Elijah. And so they came to Jericho, representing some obstacles that God had brought the children of Israel through. And Elisha was in the right place at the right time. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 6. And Elijah said unto him, "Tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan." And he said, "As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." And the two went on, and 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. And they too stood by Jordan. There's a lot of people looking at your life from afar off. And they've got advice, and they've got this, and they've got that. But you better hear the voice of the Lord today. Jordan speaks of transition. For Joshua, it was the first step into the promised land. When the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant on their shoulders stepped into the current, the river stopped flowing and the people walked across on dry ground. They left behind what they used to be and moved forward into the new. The transition from yesterday into today and into the future can often feel a lot like dying. That transition from what we used to be into what God is calling us to be can often feel like dying. After all, the cross is deadly. The cross is deadly. And God's not always just trying to bless us. Sometimes he's trying to kill us. Not literally, not physically, but spiritually. So that we die out to sin, and we die out to the flesh, and we die out to what we used to be, and we become a new creature in him. Just because we're going through transition, it doesn't mean that we're not in the right place for this time in our life. But if God is leading us from what we used to be into what he's calling us to be, then just keep trusting God and let him lead you across Jordan. Come on, you let him lead you across dry ground. You let him lead you into the destiny that he has for you. We read in 2 Kings 2 and 8, "And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters. And they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, 'Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee.' And Elisha said, 'I pray thee, let a double portion. Let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me.' And he said, 'Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so.'" In other words, Elisha, if you're in the right place at the right time, you'll get a double portion. And in this transition in Elijah and Elisha's life, they walked across dry ground just like the children of Israel. And the heaven opened up and a fiery chariot comes down. And Elijah goes up by a whirlwind into heaven. And what does Elisha do? 2 Kings 2 and 14 tells us, "And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, 'Where is the Lord God of Elijah?' And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither." And Elisha went over. Because he was in the right place at the right time, he moved into a double portion, and Elisha started off where Elijah had ended, parting the waters of Jordan. And because Elisha was led of God to be in the right place at the right time, you can look at the miracles that God did. He stepped into a double anointing. I've come to preach to a people today. I believe we're in the right place at the right time. Come on, you've come through pain. You've been faithful to the house of God. You face some obstacles. God is bringing you through transition. But don't you dare forget the promises of God. There are some promises of God. Then the promises of God are yea and amen. God cannot lie. Come on, there's some promises of God for this church. There are some things that God has promised. Sister Bush, I don't see Sister Geraldine right now, but from the way I've been told, was your mother, she was passing away, maybe sat up or came alert and said, there are some promises that God is going to bring to pass. There's going to be a mighty move of God. And I believe miracles and all of that. I want to tell you, don't forget the promises. Don't forget the promises. God is able to move. God is able to work. There is nothing that can stop the hand of God. When he gets ready to move, you just better be in the right place at the right time. Come on, I mean it today. Don't you get out of place and don't you get out of time, but you keep walking with God. You keep trusting God wherever he leads you, whatever he does. You keep believing God for the miracle. You keep believing God for the promises, because the promises of God are yea and amen. Just be in the right place at the right time. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Sometimes it's like we're planted. There's a good root system. We're there and it's steady and it's strong. Nothing can move us. And I'm not going to upset the decor committee by pulling this out of here. But sometimes this plant says, ooh, must have been the will of God. Sometimes this plant says, you know what? I'd like to be over here. This is closer to where the pastor sits. And there's a little air vent that blows right here. I like the view over here a little bit better. Which one was it? But what happens? It never goes in quite right again. And then it's so easy to just say, you know what? I think I want to be over here. This plant's a little bigger. So I'm just going to move over here and I'm going to put myself right there. And then, well, you know what? I don't really like being next to that speaker. I don't like its attitude. I'm going to go find somewhere else to plant myself. And people get to be like this plant, because hurt will come. You're going to go through Gilgal. And there's going to be obstacles. And there's going to be tryings. And there's going to be testings. And there's going to be things that we have to trust God about, because we don't have the answer and we don't have exactly all the reasons why God let it happen to us. And so if we're not careful, we'll be like that plant. We'll be going around and saying, no, I want to be here. And then when something hurts our feelings, we'll go over there. And then we never have a root system. I want to tell you today, God puts you where he wants you to be. You need to sink down some roots. And you need to say, I'm not moving, because there's some miracles on the way. There's some promises of God. There's a revival that's been promised, and I want to be in the right place, and I want to be in the right time to see what God's about to do. Amen, amen. Don't you give up on God. God's going to come through. You just better be sure you're in the right place at the right time. Don't you forget God's promises. They are yea and amen. God cannot lie, but you trust Him to bring you through. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me today? Jesus told the disciples to go wait in Jerusalem for the promise of the Father. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And on the day of Pentecost, they were in the right place at the right time. It's not just recognizing when we're in the right place at the right time, but it's also having the right response. Hallelujah. How many of you today, you want to be that person that your steps are ordered of the Lord? You want to be right in the middle of God's will for your life? Hallelujah, hallelujah. And when we're in the right place at the right time, and when we do what God wants us to do, there's miracles, and there's healings, and there's an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Come on, for somebody that the devil is trying to destroy you and trying to get you to pull up your root system, I want you to know today it's not over. But God has more in store for you. In the name of Jesus, come on, would somebody just seek the Lord right now? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hiramondo rebo shata mayara la basatra karara la la bokotra ha. Hita mayara la la libo shotra tora la yashakara basiki onda mahaya. There have been promises of God that have said this church is going to be an epicenter of end-time revival. There's been people who have had visions of this church in the end time, of people laid out sick and them coming in for miles, bringing people to this church, whether it's here or who else, where else, God, the Lord knows. But people being healed and people being delivered in the last days. Come on, I want to be in the right place at the right time. And here in this service today, all week, I just kept feeling God wants to do miracles. God wants to do great works. God wants to do signs, and God wants to do wonders. Come on, that's the kind of thing that happens in an apostolic church. And I just feel like in this service, we're in the right place, and we're at the right time for God to do a miracle. I wonder if there'd be somebody here today that you're just desperate enough that you'd come to this altar in faith and would say, Lord, I don't want to leave here until you do something great in my life. And Lord, get a hold of me. Change my heart. Work in me today, because God, I want what you have in store for me. Come on, would there be somebody that you would join these in the altar right now and you'd say, God, I'm going to commit. I'm going to commit to you. I want to be in the right place. I want to be in the right time. And God, I pray that you would open the windows of heaven, and I pray that you would pour out a blessing in my life. Come on, one moment in the presence of God can be everything that you need. One idea from God can transform your family. One answer of prayer can totally change your path of life. Would you trust the Lord for it today? In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for it, God, right now. We submit to your plan for our life. We submit to your purpose, oh God. God, plant us. Give us some roots, Lord, right in the place you want us to be. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, let's join together in a prayer of faith right now. In the name of Jesus, Lord, you see your people today. God, you see the faithfulness of your people. You see the commitment of your people today. Lord, we just believe that we're in the right time and we're in the right place for you to do a work, for you to bring a miracle. And so, God, you see what families are facing today. You see what people are facing in their finances. God, you know the doors that need to be opened, and you know the doors that need to be shut. I pray, oh God, that you would make a way. I pray, Lord, that you would bring favor. I pray, God, that you would bring miracles. I pray, God, that you would give ideas in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that you would open the right doors. We ask you, God, to give us favor to be in the right place at the right time to see your work done in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Come on, you can't answer for everybody else, but you can't answer for you. We can't answer for us. As for me, I've got to be in the right place, and I've got to be in the right time to see what God wants to do. Help us, Lord.